One thing about going through books of the Bible, it brings the whole text of the book into light. And it also, when you do that, sometimes you will speak about things that you probably might not speak about otherwise very much. They seem to be uncomfortable to the man trying to preach them, and they seem to be uncomfortable sometimes, maybe not the same thing, but sometimes uncomfortable to those that are sitting here. As we've gone through the book of Revelation, we've found that it is just exactly that, the manifestation of God, the revelation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, revealed. It enables us to see the work of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is not here to cause us fear. The book of Revelation is here to give us comfort and knowledge of the finished work of Jesus Christ. I've said this several times, I'll say it again, just as the four Gospels tell the same true story of Christ and Him crucified, different looks at it, maybe it'd be a way to say it, different understandings, different revelations from book to book, yet the same thing. One may entail more of something than another did, and less than another did. Revelation's the same way. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're having different symbolic visions of the finished work of Jesus Christ. From the time we began, we saw Christ in heaven in immortal glory, came down and died to save His people from their sins, and established, He built, He made, He created, He placed His church on the rock of Revelation. It's exactly what it is. It's not built upon Peter. Peter's in the foundation, the apostles and prophets. But the cornerstone is Christ. It's built on Christ. The Lord told Peter, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Elias, or his disciples, or John the Baptist, or one of the others. "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." What was the answer of Christ? "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven." What's the name of this book? Revelation. Now with that said, we have comfort in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that sin and death. We are hated of Satan because God is hated of Satan. We are hated of those that are in their own state of nature. And we have a dark, hard road to hoe in this world in one sense. But Christ is with us. That's the message. We're delivered from this. We're delivered from this. We pray for the sick every week and every day, many times calling them all that we know by name. And when you lay in the bed at night, sometimes you fall asleep calling their name before the throne of grace, that God would bless them and give them grace. I used to pray that everybody would be healed and able to walk and do all these things again, and I still do. But we must understand that leaving this world and leaving this body is the greatest deliverance of all, because then we're with Christ instantly. That's part of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we went through Revelation 12 of the battle that was fought. Deliverance in Christ. We've seen that in the 11 chapters before it. And we saw another picture of it in Revelation 12. We saw here in 13, when deliverance had come, that Satan has attacked those who keep the testimony of Jesus Christ, that is the church. That's the 144,000 that we saw in Revelation 6. They are the 144,000 we'll see in Revelation 14. Because after we see persecution from Satan, we always see deliverance in Christ. This 144,000 represent the remnant of God's people and the kingdom of God, which God has placed here in this world to bear witness unto Him. They are not finally deceived forever. Many deceived as they walk through the world, but they will be delivered from that. God always delivers from every trial, every persecution. We may not understand His ways, but His ways are higher than our way. Our ways as the heavens are above the earth. That's the story. That's the gospel that Christ delivers daily, temporally, and has delivered eternally. We're not in possession of that yet in the sense of being there, but one day we know that we shall all be there. But that deliverance is certain. Now, as we saw a couple of chapters earlier with the beast that would ascend out of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist, he got his power from the prince of darkness who clouded the air, that you cannot see through the cloud of smoke and lies and false doctrines. People today have gotten in this mindset of, we don't need to be talking about what other people believe. I beg to differ. The Bible teaches you of the dangers of false doctrine. Now, we're not up here trying to make fun of people or belittle people. We're giving you Scripture. That's one thing about going straight through a book. This is given to us not that we'll belittle people or make ourselves better than other people. If I read the Bible, what I see is God took a people who were just about the worst of all people, or at least on the bottom with quite a few others, and to show His glory, God chose them, God exalted them, and God brought them up for His glory. Were it not for the grace of God, there go I. But it's the grace of God, the blood of Christ, which has delivered us. These things are given that we may see different ways in which Satan seeks to devour, and what he uses his methods. We've seen physical persecution, and we see spiritual persecution. We see physical death. We see a temporal spiritual death in the world of being separated from God by our sin and by deception. And then certainly we see the wicked. But all these things are given in this book, so understand what the book is about and why God puts it here. Every time we see trial, tribulation, death, and deception, we see deliverance. We see the only life giver, God in Christ, giving life. And we see Christ being revealed to us by the Spirit of God in birth, the new birth, birth of the Spirit, where we become in possession of the life that God gave us. When you're born of the Spirit, you have eternal life abiding within you. And the revelation of Jesus Christ by that Spirit of God and through the preaching of the gospel and worship and obedience to the God of heaven. Now, last week, we spoke about one of those beasts. That's pagan Rome. These two beasts are two pictures, two symbols, I'll say it that word, that way, of the beast of Rome. The first is pagan Rome. Rome originally had many, many gods. Household gods, government gods, idolatry. The entire thing. All of it paganism. All of it idolatry. None of it worshiping the true God of heaven and earth. And then we see them conquered. And we see the pagan gods of the heathen who conquered him. This is in history. You can prove it. Just as you can prove the events in Daniel, which we've referred to many times. And that first beast is represented. It shows pagan Rome. And it shows the Antichrist, because both of these beasts are one. And both of these beasts are Antichrist, who gets his power from the prince of darkness, Satan, Lucifer, the devil. Now, last week we saw the Antichrist in pagan Rome. We saw the 42 months that he would prophesy, and we see the 42 months in chapter 11, also speaking of the Antichrist, first four or five verses, where he would be given over, God suffered it to be, to deceive. And then we saw the two witnesses of God who had the same 42 months that they would, by God's providence and God's grace, bear witness to the Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, who laid the glory of the Godhead aside, came into this world, and laid His life down for us, and raised it up again, and ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, that's the same 42 months. This is the same Antichrist. This is the same Satan. This is the same devil. This is the same Lucifer with all the bright and shining things of the world. And we've got to remember that as we go into the second beast being revealed. The things which lead us aside, the things of the world, the money, the power, the lust, the greed, all the things of the nature of man which lead us away from worshiping the one true and living God. Now, we ended last week where it said that those that dwell on the earth would worship Him, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Explain that to me, Arminian. You cannot explain that away. It's plain and simple. Those who were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, everyone that belongs to God, period. There should none be lost. There should none be finally and forever deceived. And then he tells us about those, the judgment of God. This is part of deliverance. Those that lead you into captivity shall go into captivity. Those that kill with the sword will be killed with the sword. And then we begin today's text, Lord willing, if you pray for me, in verse 11 of Revelation 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. It's coming up out of the earth. What does that teach us in context of what was gone before? They're of the earth. They're of the world. They're in their own nature of fallen Adam, earth. So that I beheld another beast, this is speaking of the Antichrist beast. This is speaking of what was in Rome. It was pagan Rome, and it's going to be papal Rome. Again, I'm not talking about Catholicism. I don't know how they worship. I've been to one service. It was a beautiful wedding. What I'm talking about is what the Bible lists here, which is the powers of darkness in that time of the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, when Rome West fell and they came in and they took everything and conquered it. When that which was dead would be alive again, when the first beast, pagan Rome, had fallen, when the emperors of Rome had lost their power, and then the Pope of Rome raised up. Now you pray for me and bear with me. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. That tells us it's of Antichrist. And he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. Okay, a lot of things in this that people say and believe. Theologians, learned men. I'm not making fun of what they said. I'm telling you a few things that they have said. And then I'm going to go to what I believe is a fact. I can't say otherwise of the first parts I'm going to tell you. I listen to them, I read them, I think about them. I agree with every one of them in a text, and I'm not going to go into all of them, but the final one I'm going to give you, if God will keep my thoughts and bless, I know is true. This, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. This is a lamb with each horn on his head. Many times in Scripture, the horn represents power. If the horns on the altar represents power, they would bind the sacrifice down. That would teach us the 118th Psalm, bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar. That would teach us of the power of God in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed His blood for us. The horn represents the power of God. Now, here, this lamb has two horns. I read where some say it's the Jews, some say it's the Gentiles. Two horns. Some say the law, some say grace. Some say this, some say that. Different ideas. If I sat and thought about them in one way or another, I could agree with most of the ones that I have read, and not going into all of them. But I want you to see what it is representing in this text. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is the Antichrist. And he had two horns like a lamb. This is showing us of the one who appears to be the vicar of the Lamb of God. One who claims to be, remember, he's the beast, he's the Antichrist, deceiving. One who claims to be as the Son of God himself, power to forgive sins on earth. Well, we've mentioned this so many times, I'm tired of mentioning it, but I'm going to bring it to your remembrance. You give them enough money, they'd save you from hell. They'd tell you the lie that your loved one who was a sinner is in purgatory, but if you give them enough money, they'll pray them to heaven. You see, they declared that they had the power which rightfully and only belongs to the Son of God. Excommunicating people, and in doing so, saying they were condemned to hell. Let me tell you something. It's hard to be out of the church if you've been in it. And if someone is, as the word says, excommunicated, as they did putting people out of the kingdom of God in the world, the church, which that was not to start with, that's all it would do. It didn't keep, well, I'll say it this way. It's not all it did. They persecuted them terribly, put millions to death because they wouldn't accept infant baptism or sprinkling. Those were our forefathers. They were Anabaptists. But they claimed to have the power to cast them into hell. That belongs to the Son of God and the Godhead, God the Father. That does not belong to any man. Salvation does not. It's all in Christ. You working your way to salvation temporally in obedience, as many would say, even that is by the grace of God. Now, this beast had two horns like a lamb. He came forth in the appearance of being like unto the Lamb of God. He appeared to be as the Lamb of God. The spokesman as the Lamb of God. They deceived so many because they allowed them not to see Scripture. They kept it in Latin, and you remember this when we get to the 666. They kept it in Latin that the common man could not understand it nor read it. But it was not allowed for people to see the Scripture. They and they alone held the key in their mind and appearing to be to others as the vicar for the Lamb of God, the voice of God, that they would interpret Scripture and tell you the meaning. I'll leave that where it sits. This person that he saw, this Antichrist, appeared to be as a lamb. 2 Thessalonians, I think I mentioned this last week. If I did not, I meant to. Chapter 2, verse 4. Well, let me go to 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the end, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We can see it in that day. We can see it in this day. An apostasy, a falling away. From the very foundation of the church, when Christ founded it, we began to see the effects of Antichrist upon God's children. But we also see, going through the book of Revelation, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance in Christ. But the Son of Man shall be revealed, the son of perdition. I've told you before, I'll bring it to remembrance now. Every single one of our forefathers in the Christian faith of the Baptist persuasion either say that this papacy is the Antichrist. I don't mean the people. I mean the leader, the one that appears as the Lamb of God, the son of perdition. That means destruction. What does the Antichrist do? He destroys. He destroys. Who destroys? Verse 4. Who opposeth God, Christ, and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He places himself just as Satan did. Above Christ. Satan desired to be the Christ of God. In the sense of him being the Son of God, he desired to have that power and be the Son of God. But he was cast down. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Now the temple of God, we'll get into this some other time, is your body, okay? But for the sake of this text, sitteth in the temple of God, regard the church. Sitteth in the church. What are we talking about over here in Revelation? Deception through Antichrist. The wicked do not need deceiving. They know not God. They have no way of knowing God as a God of a Savior, because it is not given unto them. Even though we're sinners, God does not refer to us as the wicked. He refers us to the righteous. Because God sees the end and God declared the end from the beginning. So that he hath God sitteth in the temple of God. Now watch this. Showing himself. Himself. That he is God. Okay, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, back to Revelation 13:11. He had two horns like a lamb. He appears to be the Son of God. We'll get to Revelation 17 eventually, Lord willing. And we'll cover more of this there for the sake of moving forward. Let's go forward. He spake as a dragon. Oh, like Satan who appears as an angel of light. He appeared to be as an angel of light. Give you a quick example of one of these hirelings. Well, send me $1 million and I'll go to this Middle Eastern country and I'll convert those people and I'll do this. You see, he's placing himself in the place of the Son of God, for the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. That's Jesus Christ. He's placing himself. And this is not speaking of the papacy. Time has passed. Time has gone by. Our forefathers said this was the papacy and the papacy alone. But we see as time passed, it's not just the papacy. It in that day, it is the wide realm of the winds of doctrine, and the men who preach and teach them, who are many of them, are not God's children, who are deceiving God's children in the world. Many times for money. He spake as a dragon. Tongues of false doctrine. Oh, it appears to be sweet. It appears. You ever notice how the Democrats deceive people? Well, we're going to give them this, and we're going to give them this, and we're going to give them this, and feed them, and do the Lord's work. Pardon me, the Lord said a man won't work, won't eat. Get that down pat. Now, secondly, we should be helping people. Don't misunderstand me. There's a Christian way to do that. But my point is, they use the deception of doing good to bring evil upon the earth. That is no different from what went on in this text that we're talking about, claiming to be the vicar of God, claiming to be teaching false doctrine, making themselves as the Son of God Himself, making all the things that they preach and teach and taught and deceive deny Christ, His very self. And because they appear as the Lamb of God, a lamb, not the lamb, but they try to. Because they try to appear as that, many people are deceived. Well, they're doing this, they're doing this, they're helping. Well, let's turn the page back or forward and see the millions they murdered and burned at the stake and beheaded and killed their families because they refused something as simple as full immersion, baptism of believers, and millions were murdered because of that. And they had the works of the dragon. They had the tongue of the dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast, pagan Rome, before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. The first beast was pagan Rome. The wound was healed. The emperors lost their power. It was split into different sections. Here comes the first pope who established a reign through the work of Satan over not just what was Rome, but the entirety of the known world at that time. And being placed in the government and having rule over the government, even power to set up kings and take down kings, as God said it belongs to Him and Him only in the book of Daniel. I've read where there was one king the Pope made sit under his table and eat the crumbs he would drop to him, belittling the government and the king, whether they were wicked or righteous, that God established. And God didn't make it wicked, man does that, but belittling the institution that God created in government and placing himself as God above all things. I'm talking about men here who were in that day and that era and what they did. History records it. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, pagan Rome, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He's got all the power of the first beast because he is the first beast and he's the second. He is the Antichrist. And he comes forth with the power of Satan, and God suffers him like the waves of the ocean to go just thus far. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. The reprobate natural man who does not know God and cannot and will never know God worships himself. The day thou eatest thereof shall be, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. All the way back to Adam. All the way back to when perfection was ruined. He makes him worship the first beast. I say that to make the point, the natural man does that. He worships. himself. He worships mankind. He worships the beast, the things the Antichrist teach. These are people of the earth. Understand that. He calls it the earth and them which dwell in the earth, men of the earth, reprobate men, left in the nature of fallen Adam, to worship the first beast. Get on these corrupted, evil news channels and mention the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll cut you off like that. You can talk about God because they have their own gods. You can talk about money. You can talk about Islam. You can talk about Buddha, Confucius, or any other pawn of Satan. And they'll have that. It's like old Tim Tebow. You mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ and they cut you off like that. Because they worship the Antichrist beast. They worship man whose deadly wound was healed. Again, Rome, the emperor's lost power. The Pope took the power. Reigned in government over nations and kings many times, millions of people that refuse to bow to their doctrines and their lives destroyed financially and physically. Put to death. But this beast that was done away with was healed. He was alive. We'll get to 17 of Revelation eventually, Lord willing. And he doeth great wonders. He doeth great wonders. These wonders that they did were either by trickery, as did in the days of Nebuchadnezzar when they would raise up idols and images, and they would have someone either inside the idol or the image or someone close by being a ventriloquist making sounds come from the idol to deceive the simple, that they would believe that this pagan idol, which was formed of the hands of men, had a voice that could speak and power. It can't walk. It doesn't eat. It doesn't sleep. It's an idol. Man created it. It is nothing. But the great wonders, they either did them by trickery or they did them by sorcery. Witchcraft. That's a great danger. Many people don't realize that this day, that children that have gone into witchcraft. They were doing it when I was working. That's been 14 years almost since I retired. We'd find places where they'd make these big rings and put the star of Satan under it, and they'd kill animals and hang their heads up. That happened one night at a Boy Scout gathering. The children and I were down at a camp and up in St. Clair County above the little river that goes through there, Kelly Creek. We heard noises and screaming and a fire built up there. I was not about to let them go up there because they were children. So the next day we went up there and there's a big ring made with a star of Satan, as they call it there, and animal skins and a goat's head laying there. They tortured them to death and then burned them. People don't realize, because we're sheltered, and then Satan's news media is not going to expose it to you because they don't want you to know about it. Because then you might do something to stop it. Well, there's no such thing as witchcraft. Beg your pardon. If there was no witchcraft, why did God say in Numbers, I believe about 23, through the mouth of Balaam, to Balak, that no divination would, I forget the exact wording, but it would not destroy Israel. What is divination? It's witchcraft. This is how they did these things. through the power of Satan, deceiving with wonders. Watch these people walk up at these gatherings in today's time. This all started with the man back in the 70s. I almost had his name, Oral Roberts. Walk up and have one that's supposed to be crippled and pop him in the head with the palm of your hand. He gets an adrenaline rush and cries out, "Well, he's saved. I saved him. God forbid." That's trickery. That's deception. That's a lie. Healing died with the apostles. We can't do that. They do it for money's sake and power's sake. This is what is being spoken of. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders. Many times trickery. Many times witchcraft. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of all men. This is relating to Elijah, and it's showing us the great miracle, the great power of God by which they claim to have in calling fire down from heaven, as did Elijah, and destroyed the pagan altar. They deceive you, saying they have that power, doing great wonders in the sight of men in the earth to deceive them, to deceive the natural men. In my line of work, I talk to people a lot of times. I talked to one guy, mentioned this 20 years ago at Oak Grove, never will forget that day. Well, this man studied. He said, "I've studied every religion, made man, every God, everything." He said, "I just don't get it. I can't get it." Well, no, you can't get it. Just to be plain and blunt, if you're not born of the Spirit, you're not going to get it. If God does not give you revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ, you're not going to get it. Because you are not God's. If you are God's, you will get it before you die. And that's proven in Scripture. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Great miracles before men. We've healed the sick. We've raised the dead. No, you are not. You're a liar. You cannot do that. Forgive my bluntness. And he deceiveth and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, natural man, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. God has given us an understanding of the way that Satan deceives us by the Antichrist. This is given to you to see what happens and how he works. And as I said many times, Satan cannot create. He only can imitate. And God is the only creator, Christ. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. He does the same tactics over and over and over. Do you wonder why they don't want us to know history? He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. You see where his power comes from. From Satan. From the beast. From the Antichrist, whose power is from the prince of darkness. He deceives them that dwell on the earth, the natural man, by the means of those miracles. Look what he can do. He can heal people. He can raise the dead. He can walk on water. I remember a saying, it would take much more faith to believe the things the devil puts in front of our eyes than it does to believe what God has put in our heart. Because it's evident what God puts in your heart. And if you're a child of God, it ought to be evident the things that are of Satan. These things are warnings to us. These things give us an understanding of how Satan works toward the children of God. Look in government. And it also brings about, again, as we'll see next week, hopefully, in these troublesome times, how Christ has preserved 144,000 who stand with Him upon the Mount Zion. And He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which He had power to do in the sight of the beast. It's all the devil. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, the natural man, that they should make an image to the beast. Make an image. All right, I'm going to step in it here too. Might as well. Stepped everywhere else. Pagan Rome had images. The heathen barbarians had images. Well, we see the statue of Buddha and things such as that. They had images. They'd make images. Israel worshipped images because they took upon them the gods of the nations which God drove out from before them, were to be separate from the world. They made images. This beast, this part of the beast, like pagan Rome, has images. Now this is brought out by Gill and Barnes, I believe, and maybe even Matthew Henry. They worshipped images, statues that were made by men, formed by men, men's hands, out of material that God created of people that were dead and gone before, deifying the dead people, worshiping the dead who were God's people, the ones that were, who are now with Christ and worshiping Him in His presence and spirit until the day the body is raised up. But through deception, images and idols, that they should make an image to the beast who had the wound by a sword and did live. This is the image of the beast. This is the image of pagan Rome. This is idolatry. This is worshiping the dead. This is praying to the dead. This is worshiping anything that is not God. We find in Romans chapter 1, I believe, a list of those who are mentioned, and it says that they worship the creature more than the creator. We see that today. We saw it in that day. We see it today. You ever see that commercial, ass packer with all the little dogs on it mistreated? Now let me state this before I get started. If I caught a man with a dog in the shape that those dogs are in, I'd take a hickory stick to him and whoop its backside, I promise you. I don't want to mistreat anything, cat, dog, horse, cow, pig, or anything else, much less a person. But they worship the creature more than the creator. They say nothing about the children abused and murdered. They're worshiping a creature that God made more than the man made in God's image. And by the way, I looked it up the other day, 90% of that $19 a month they get from people goes to their pockets. 10% goes to the critters. But just an example. They make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, and had, oh, the sword, the barbarians conquering Rome. Power gone away. And then here comes the papacy in the government. This is why we don't want a theocracy. Depends on who sits in the chair of reign and rule as to how you're allowed to worship. That is why our forefathers came here to this land to rule, to worship without the rule of the King of England telling them what they could or could not do and killing them when they worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. We forget so many things. this beast, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Let's run out of time. Let's finish this chapter and synopsis this. The image of the first beast, paganism. Let's be blunt. Antichrist. The old Rome was dead. It was made to look alive. That it would speak. That the image would speak. These men claimed to be speaking, or who claimed to be speaking for Christ, but they spoke with the tongue of the dragon, the beast, the Antichrist, giving the false impression, or giving the impression, that that beast was still alive and still had power to be a god, to give life, to condemn, to do the things that were involved in pagan Rome, because they were his pawns, and they, by their words and the doctrine they taught, lies, false doctrine, still taught today, not just by these people, but by most of the religious world. Remember, this is a remnant in the church of God's children, which God has sustained, which God keeps, whom God reveals Himself to, in more of a fullness of the glory of God. He took Peter, James, and John up and was transfigured before them, and they saw His glory. Well, we have not got that high, and we will not in this world, but with a child of God among the church of God that God has brought here is lifted up just a little bit higher, and can see a little bit more and have the full knowledge of the Son of God. No, not the full knowledge, more of the knowledge of the Son of God. We couldn't stand before the full knowledge of Him in this body of sin, but He had power to give life in the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause. This beast is alive! Look what He does! He conquers these people! He told me to go conquer these people. These people that won't accept infant baptism, that won't accept sprinkling, that won't accept purgatory, that won't give me gold, that won't give me silver. We're going to kill them. That as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's Bible doctrine inspired by the Holy Ghost. Put it in context. Look back to that day and age and look at today. Several years ago, that all the Middle East was involved in persecution. Families being separated, wives and children raped and killed in front of fathers. Fathers killed, husbands killed in front of wives, because they would not deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It didn't go away. It's not confined to one group of people. It's entirety of the world, an antichrist against the sons of God. And as we read in chapter 12, those that keep the testimony of Jesus Christ, they're killed. We've been spared from that by the grace of God. That may be rapidly changing with Satan in government. And he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor. This could be from the peasant to kings. I already mentioned how they had kings and emperors under their tables eating the crumbs they fed them. Free and bond. We'll talk about slavery some other time. Many men went into slavery voluntarily because they had nothing to eat, and they did it so that they could eat and feed their families. to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Remember the move of the omen. Well, that woman in the bed with that man looked on his head, and there's a 666 carved there. Oh, everybody just got scared. I remember back in the 70s when Ronald Reagan was elected, or the 80s, I believe, rather, and he got shot, and all these Armenian theologists were saying, he's the Antichrist, Ronald Wilson Reagan, 666. He's been shot, but he ain't dead. He's alive. He must be the Antichrist. Foolish, foolish, foolish. The mark in their right hand and in their forehead. This is a book of symbolism. In the day this book was written, and before for some time with the Romans, a servant would have the mark of his master upon his head. You would have whatever symbol your master wrote upon your head. Symbolism now. You're a servant to sin. The devil's written upon your mind. I've told you this before. God gave Cain over to a reprobate mind. That was the mark God set upon Cain. A reprobate mind. How do we know someone's wicked? Judge the tree by its fruit. I'm tired of people saying, well, in Muslims, they just Christians too. Some of them are, well, they're not Christians. They wouldn't be worshiping a pedophile named Muhammad. Many of them may be God's people, but many of them are not too. Judge the tree by its fruit and act accordingly. Be a part of them no more. Period. Didn't say kill them. It said have nothing to do with them. They had the mark upon their head, the symbolic, or in their hand. The soldier would have the mark of the emperor in his hand. Now in that you can see the mind and you can see the works of the hand. The mind reprobate, the works reprobate. All these people that worship the beast from all people, or the natural man, does not know God. Natural man of the earth. Because remember, way back in this chapter, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world are not deceived. This is giving you deliverance. This is giving you a knowledge that while you walk and you live in this sin-cursed earth where God's children are lied to and deceived and hated and killed and raped and abused, that there is deliverance. And that is in Christ. Let's finish the text. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay. In the days in question, Middle Ages, Dark Ages, it was so much persecution. I'll say that in proper English. There was so much persecution. If you would not bow to the idolatry of Rome, you could not buy food. They would not sell it to you. You could not own a business. They would destroy it. They would persecute you until you fled into the wilderness physically and then pursue you and kill you. Put this together. This is symbolic. You couldn't buy or sell. You couldn't make a living. You couldn't live unless you worshiped the beast. That's the way the world is. I read the other day, you read so much, you don't know what's true and what's not unless it's in the Bible. They're trying to do away with money. China's already done it. Biden's wanting to do it here. So you use a card. Nobody has money. You see, that way you can't buy nothing unless you got a card. And now you read where they're wanting to put a computer chip in your skin so you don't. So you don't need a credit card. Somebody say that's the mark of the beast, and it certainly is a type of it in a sense. But what it boils down to is control and persecution of God's children. No man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The number of his name. The symbol of the numeric, what's the word I'm looking for? The number in Latin, remember Latin. We mentioned that a moment ago. The Latin Bible, the common man could not read it. The number in Latin, the Latin Rome, the Latin church, the Latin control. The number in Latin regarding the name and the alphabet, it's the number of a man. A man, again, a man who lives and dies, and his number is 666. I got 2 minutes, I'll close with that. His number is 666. First of all, God is 777. God is above. God has power. God has providence. God has sovereignty. Second of all, I'll give you an explanation. Many say that that relates to the time of the Antichrist, which was not. It was like 587 or so when that began to happen. And there was all, or maybe it was 857. I'm like Josh, I got dyslexia and I have my numbers get confused from time to time. But many say that's the years of the reign of Antichrist. Well, it's been way past 666 years and it's still here, so that has to be out of the question. Polycarp was a disciple of the very same John who, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, penned the book of Revelation. Polycarp, this comes from a man named Irenaeus, who was a follower of Polycarp, but Polycarp was a disciple of John who wrote the book of Revelation, relates that number by the way the Latin relates the names and numbers together numerically in the alphabet to be the Pope. 666. And that's what it represented to them in that day. Many people think they've got smarter than people were before them. I contend that every generation we grow further away from God and our nature and our thoughts and our acts and beings. But that's what it was believed that that is, and I see no reason to doubt it. Now I'll say this again. This is not talking about Catholics today. It's not talking about other forms of Baptist or religions, although there are religions that worship the devils. I went down to Daddy's house one day. He said, "You should have seen what was just on this man sitting in a chair, drinking whiskey, smoking a cigar, talking about worship Satan." And it's there. It's there. But you're not deceived with that. You know, up front. Turn it off. Shoot it. Get away from it. I should have said shoot it, but I've tried to shoot my TV so many times. But the fact remains that it is there, and it's their lies, and it's Antichrist, and we should avoid it. And even if we are deceived at some point in this world, we'll not be deceived in eternity, and that's for certain. And the final thing to say in today's text is, we'll see next week, that God's children suffer. They suffer in this world. That was the text last Saturday. The sufferings of God's people in the world by both men who preached that beautiful day God blessed us with. But brethren, if you read the book of Revelation, don't you be afraid. It's very simple. Christ and Him crucified. There is deliverance each and every single time. That's why we worship the Lord.